Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, hey, George, here's a random start for you on this Freedom Friday. Yeah, maybe this would be the way to stop the glaciers in Glacier National Park from melting. You know, the glaciers have been melting for quite some time. That's why it's called Glacier National Park, because, you know, this whole ice sheet that covered Montana has been melting for a long, 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 long time. And so it caved these incredible mountains in Glacier National Park. But, you know, they told us that the glaciers were supposed to be gone back in 2020. That didn't happen, so they took down the signs. But, George, here's the random headline for you here. I just got this from our friend Matt Desch with KJJR in Kalispell. This is an actual ABC News headline. Penguin feces can help mitigate climate change. We just need a bunch of penguin crap. We're going to dump it all over Glacier. We will stop the glaciers from melting. There, this whole time, nobody told us.
More penguins.
Who knew?
All we need is penguins. Wow. How about that?
That must be why the Antarctic ice sheet has been increasing. They've actually been growing the ice, expanding the ice in the last 2 years.
Well, it's all penguin poop.
Penguins are just crapping all over the place. More penguins. So why don't we have those penguins in the North Pole then as much as they do down on the South Pole apparently here? But
well, yeah, I don't know, but it sounds to me like we just need a lot more penguins everywhere and everything will be fine. I don't know how that works. I'm not even going to ask how that works, but hey, sounds good to me.
You know, it's cold enough in Montana during the winter. Well, you could scatter these penguins all across. You know, you could send the cows south for the winter and bring the penguins north for the winter. And,
exactly.
You know, free range, a bunch of penguins. Stop climate change. Hey, you know.
That's great. That's great. Hey, speaking of climate change and crazy ideas and stuff, did you go downtown yesterday around the lunch hour for the big pita protest?
I went before the lunch hour, and I picked up a maple bacon donut. At Proof Donuts. You've had Proof's stuff before.
Yeah.
They got good coffee. They got
Francesca good. Delivers that stuff to us sometimes.
Man, well, where's Francesca? Tell her to get some maple bacon donuts up here.
I know. Was it good? Because I haven't had one of those
yet. It wasn't my cheat day, and I'm trying to slim back down, you know, tighten up a little bit before the summer. So I donated the donut. I got a half dozen donuts because those things are massive. I mean, they're like miniature cakes. I got a maple bacon one. I got the Boston cream, raspberry shortbread. A bunch of them.
Man.
But I definitely got the maple bacon one. Yeah, because PETA was doing their big protest in downtown Billings, and Proof Donuts is right next to Jake's restaurant. But I had a lot of friends who were at Jake's yesterday. They said the place was absolutely packed. And other than the guy driving the PETA truck, who's probably not a vegetarian, by the way.
Probably not. He's eating hot dogs.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just getting paid to drive this stupid rig. What do I care? Other than him, there were no PETA folks out there. It was just everybody enjoying steaks and steak salads and pork and BLTs and maple bacon donuts.
Oh, you know? The only thing that could have made that better is if the Wienermobile had been across the street.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just parked right in front of it. I did see a taco truck that was parked right out in front of Jake's as well. I don't know if they always do that or if they timed it with the pita truck, but I looked at the menu and they had pork tacos on the menu as well. So.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah. But Great Falls, man, Great Falls just smoked the pita crowd with the block long line there. That was so cool to see. I would, if I owned a restaurant, I would want PETA to show up, that's for sure.
It's May 30th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. Today is National Creativity Day. Founded in 2018, the day is meant to encourage everyone to celebrate the creative spirit and let their imaginations run wild. So whether your outlet is painting, music, filmmaking, even knitting, show the world your hidden talent. Also on this date in 1896, the first auto accident took place in New York City. Driver Henry Wells was taking part in a horseless wagon race when he lost control of his vehicle and crashed into cyclist Evelyn Thomas. Wells was arrested for the accident while Thomas suffered a broken leg. And in 2020,
ignition, liftoff of the Falcon 9 and Crew Dragon, go NASA, go SpaceX.
The SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket launched from Cape Canaveral, carrying the Dragon capsule to the International Space Station, marking the first time a private company launched astronauts into space. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Hey, let's start with a caller. Yeah, we're taking your phone calls here on this Freedom Friday with George Blackard in the house. Nancy in Roundup first up. Nancy, great. Let me turn her phone. There we go. Nancy, great to hear from you. What's on your mind on this Freedom Friday?
You better turn the phone on, Aaron. I mean, after all, my God.
That's right.
I called to be heard. I'm telling you, boy. Good morning, Montana family, and salute to all our veterans. And I got to talk to Georgie. Good morning, Georgie. It's good to hear your voice again.
Yeah.
But anyway, I got to share a World War II fact, and I have two female veterans here in Roundup I'd like to mention. We're all familiar with the M&M candies. Now, these were designed specifically for our World War II veterans overseas, because they were portable food, they were very good, and the guys liked them and gave them a lot of instant energy. So that's just a fun fact trivia to share with us all. And there's two women here that have been overlooked. And Heather Anderson, she came to Roundup from Pennsylvania a few years ago. That's where she was originally from, and she was in the Navy during Desert Storm. She is the mother of 13 kids, and she is blind. I don't know her that well. I don't know how she got her blindness, but she has a cane, and she has this fantastic cell phone that even allows her to see where she can even sign her signature. So I want to give a special salute and a hello to Heather Anderson. Then the other a woman is Sabrina Lemon. She was born in New York State. She was actually in the Marines, and when she got done with the Marines, she joined the Army. And she had tours in the Middle East. And she ran two times for our school board. Unfortunately, she didn't win either time, including this last run, which is sad, because she would have been an amazing influence, and it was something that she really wanted to do, because our school board here in Roundup is just terrible.
Yeah, well, so, that's great.
Anyway,
a little Freedom Friday salute to some women warriors out there.
Great.
Very cool. Yeah, thanks, Nancy, for sharing. And the M&Ms, I didn't know the World War II history behind the M&Ms. I pulled it up on Grok real fast, and yeah, everything Nancy shared, of course, as usual, spot on. Yeah, Grok pointed out that apparently when they would ship the M&Ms in the military rations, back in the day, they were packaged in cardboard tubes for durability. Women warriors, I would definitely encourage folks, if you didn't hear our best of show that we aired on Memorial Day earlier this week, Operation Juliet, check it out. Dallas Knight, female Iraq veteran, she's got Operation Juliet. She's also got her Not So Average Jane podcast. And I would encourage, you know, if those women warriors that you know haven't listened to that podcast or heard about what Dallas is doing with Operation Juliet, make sure they check it out. Or likewise, if you have a great story or woman for Dallas to feature on her podcast, I think she's always looking for some great connections. It sounds like Nancy just had a couple of great leads there as well. George, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's great. You know, so many times it's better than it used to be, but so many times our female veteran or female military service members are kind of overlooked or forgotten, and their roles have expanded over the years. So it's great to see them get some recognition. I think that's important.
Well, one of the things Dallas talked about last time she joined us on the show, too, is, you know, if you're a female veteran, and, you know, there's a ton of great veteran service organizations out there and programs, you know, this fishing thing, this hunting thing, this, that, this here, over there. And she's like, yeah, there's a lot of women that like to fish and hunt, too. She says, but for a lot of the women warriors that she talks to, they want to reconnect with their womanhood. They want to reconnect with their feminine side because they felt like they kind of lost a little bit of that, mm-hmm. You know, in the desert and elsewhere. And so that's what she's trying to do, is create this women's retreat. Not trying to do it. She is doing it. And they're, in fact, coming up in June here, which June is right around the corner. They're doing that very thing,
right,
to provide more women-specific, some more feminine opportunities, shall we say.
Absolutely. And, you know, it reminds me of a female veteran that I knew that she went to the VA, and this has been a few years ago, but she went to the VA and they didn't have anywhere for her to change. So they said, well, you can change in this closet over here, this janitor closet. I mean, it was just crazy, this story. And I don't remember it all, but it just pointed out that, you know, there's certain needs that females have over males, and for a
you
long
can't
time
say that that's politically incorrect.
Well, I know, yeah. But for a long time, you know, it was a struggle. Things have gotten much, much better, but you know, there's differences, and those things need to be thought about.
Well, that's why, you know, it was a lot of the female veterans who led the charge, helped lead the charge for more veterans choice in healthcare. And because they'd say, okay, well, you know, if you're a woman and you want to go to a woman doctor and your local VA clinic doesn't have a woman doctor, why can't you go to, you know, Billings Clinic or St. Pat's or, you know, St. Vincent or your local, why can't you go to your local hospital where you have a woman doctor?
Exactly.
And so that's why a lot of the women veterans, one of the ones that were helping to lead the charge for more veterans choice in healthcare, while the Democrats were almost in unison against it.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's crazy when the Democrats get against something, they go all out against it. And, you know, we see that all the time. The whole thing with the Kennedy Center, right? So we have this actress who, she just wants to blow the whole place up.
I read something
because Trump's now the chairman of this committee or board or whatever, director. And it's nuts. They just burn it down. If they don't get their way, destroy it.
Yeah, Trump put a gay guy in charge of the Kennedy Center, and now this woman actor wants to blow the place up because somehow he's backed by Trump, so she wants to blow the place up. It's kind of like what they're doing to the country, basically.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The National Federation of Independent Business, the advocacy group for U.S. small businesses, has a weekly survey of business conditions. It compiles something called a policy uncertainty index, which basically tallies the number of times businesses say, I don't know, or not certain, in response to questions about their plans. And the index has exploded in recent weeks, reaching levels that match the onset of the COVID emergency in early 2020. It's just measuring what's in plain sight to everyone. Government by tweet and executive order that has disrupted global supply chains, especially impacting small businesses that have less opportunity or capacity to adjust. It's a style of governing that is toxic to the risk-taking and investment spending that powers much of the economy. With policy up in the air, many of the decisions on projects and investments are on hold, and the collective impact of that paralysis is a frightening thing to contemplate should it continue. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox in the Fast Lane.
Ross Chastain had two top five finishes, but zero victories on the season heading into the Coca-Cola 600. He finally got over the hump at Charlotte Motor Speedway.
How about it? From the back to the front, Ross Chastain wins the Coca-Cola 600.
That was courtesy of Prime Video. Chastain started from the rear of the field but led the final six laps after overtaking William Byron. It was Chastain's first win at Charlotte and the sixth victory of his Cup Series career. Byron, Chase Briscoe, A.J. Allmendinger, and Brad Keselowski rounded out the top five. The Cup Series now makes a trip to Music City for the Cracker Barrel 400 at Nashville Super Speedway. Joey Logano won at the track last year, a race that required 5 overtime restarts. Logano already has a win under his belt this season, taking home the victory at Texas Motor Speedway on the first weekend of May. The Cracker Barrel 400 gets underway at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sunday. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.
This
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping back into it here with George Blackard, Freedom Friday. I know George has a topic he wants to sound off on. I got a topic I want to sound off on as well. You know, I mentioned the penguin feces they think can mitigate climate change. Well, the climate kids are back at it again with their antics. They filed a lawsuit in Butte. It's like, wow, way to poke the people of Butte in the eye. You know, more and more people are abandoning the Democrat Party in Butte every election cycle. But the climate kids now filed a federal lawsuit against the Trump Unleash American Energy policies. They're trying to bring that all to a halt. So that's what I want to talk about. First, though, let's go to Ken in Belgrade next up on the phone line. Sounds like Ken wants to give a shout out to some veterans out there as well. Ken, thanks for the call.
How you doing, Aaron?
Great.
Yeah, I just wanted to share a little Billings history with you. I've got an aunt who was a WASP pilot during World War II, which was a women's air service pilot. And she was actually born and raised in Billings. And her dad is Dick Logan, who the Billings Airport was named after.
Oh, wow. Oh. What was her name?
Marge Raleigh.
Cool.
And I don't know if you know anything about the WASP pilots, but they were actually considered civilians. And they carried their different aircraft from base to base. And if one of them was killed while she was flying, she didn't get any military benefits at all.
Mm.
Their family,
because they were technically civilians, and yeah. Well, that's great history. Thanks so much for sharing that. That'd be cool to look up the family, especially given the history of the airport connection there as well. Ken, thanks for listening in Belgrade. Thanks for the phone call.
You know, I have met female pilots from World War II that they would ferry these aircraft back and forth from one coast to the other, wherever the factory was, for instance, out to the coast, so that they could be flown overseas and entered into war. And it's quite a deal. I mean, the contribution that they made, that was huge. And you just don't hear about that.
So I had to grok it real fast, because grok is Google. Google's worthless anymore. Grok is the best way to get quick information. And so, yeah, as he mentioned, the WASP pilots from World War II, the women Air Force Service pilots, WASP pilots flew over 60 million miles, ferrying 12,650 aircraft of 78 types, including fighters like the P-51 Mustang and bombers like the B-17 and the B-29 across the U.S. They also tested aircraft, towed targets for gunnery practice, and served as flight instructors. So over 25,000 women applied, but only 1,800 or so were accepted. And then 1,074 completed the rigorous training at Avenger Field in Sweetwater, Texas.
That's the job I want, towing a target so people can shoot at you while you're flying across. Man, I'm telling you, it takes guts to do that.
Well, I didn't even think about that. They're towing the target while it's being shot at.
Yes.
I figured they towed the target, set it somewhere, and then the target got shot at.
No, it's in the air, so
oh,
they're towing
goodness.
It. So
yeah.
your anti-aircraft crews can shoot at it.
So that's where we're like, hey, George, we've got a job for you this weekend. It's a really fun job.
it reminds me of going down to the butts when you're out on the range, you know, qualifying, and you're down there marking targets. That wall's like 6 inches taller than your head, and you're like,
there's 300 guys shooting at us down here. This is nuts.
Oh, man, that's funny. Yeah, it's always that's what's so great about getting random phone calls here is just the great information you pick up along the way. So, Ken, thanks for that. Okay, George, actually, let's start with your topic, George. What's the topic you want to sound off on today?
We both kind of agreed on one. But I forgot what it was.
So, okay, I'll read the headline for you here.
Yes.
Okay, Lee Newspapers has this headline. Northwestern Energy quietly implements a big price hike for Montana electricity users. So basically, let me just read part of the Lee Newspapers report here. If you are a Northwestern Energy customer in Montana, the price you pay for electricity went way up to the tune of about $204 a year on average the day before Memorial Day weekend. Nobody needed to give the company permission to do that, and they weren't required to inform customers. This is according to the Lee Newspapers. However, it must be reviewed by elected officials. And so they're saying that Northwestern used a fairly obscure Montana law to raise electricity rates. But you made a great point during the break.
Yes.
Well,
now I remember which one. Now yeah. I'm angry. Yeah.
So, I forgot what I was angry about.
Yeah. So we have the PSC, right? The PSC is supposed to monitor these and answer to these rate hikes and that sort of thing. So what they did essentially is allowed this increase because they didn't do anything about it. So they were notified that there was going to be an increase, that Northwest Energy wanted to do that, and they didn't do anything. And if they don't respond, and I think it is 9 months, then that's like a blessing, and they can go ahead and raise the rates. So either way you look at it, one, they could have voted for it, or against it, but they chose to do nothing,
Held a meeting on the topic,
exactly,
anticipating that it was going to be put into effect under this obscure law. Yeah, so your point is like, hey, they should have done something about it already.
But they chose to do nothing, which in a sense is allowing it to happen and giving their blessings. So thanks a lot, PSC, for nothing and just sitting around and doing nothing.
And the other point you made as we were talking about this off air was like, okay, so they could not address it at all and just allow it to go into effect because maybe they don't want to take the blame for an electric rate hike. Well, it wasn't us. We didn't vote to approve a rate hike. But your point is like whether you do something or whether you do nothing, you're responsible. The buck stops with you.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, there you go. That's your PSC at work for you. They allowed that to happen.
You know, this kind of ties in with the story that I was going to bring up here as well. And look, this is the challenge facing our public service commissioners here in Montana is electricity price, energy costs nationwide have been skyrocketing, especially under the 4 years of the Joe Biden, John Tester regime. Their green new scam policies, their anti-American energy policies have been their pro-green energy garbage has been driving up the price of electricity everywhere. And so if you're Northwestern Energy, it's like, well, what do? Like, you have to deliver a product. You don't want to go bankrupt. You have to raise costs because your costs are going up. And if you're a public service commissioner, you don't want to vote in support of price hikes. But if the prices are going up across the board, what do you do? And that's where I want to call out the hypocrisy of the Montana Democrats here, because the Montana Democrats want to sit back and blame the PSC and blame Northwestern Energy for all these price hikes. But it's the Montana Democrats that have supported these green energy scams that are responsible for the prices going up in the first place, which leads me to the scam artists known as the Climate Kids. Remember the Climate Kids? They had the Held v. Montana lawsuit, the climate lawsuit against the state of Montana. Well, now these scam artist lawyers are trying to get $3.2 million in lawyers' fees from you and me and the rest of the taxpayers here in Montana. It's about lining their own pockets. That's what this whole climate alarmist scam is all about. Like, they're not curtailing any of their travel. They're not curtailing any of their activities. The Bussey family He was the Democrat candidate for governor. They were a part of this Climate Kids lawsuit scam. Now they launched a new federal lawsuit in federal court in Butte against President Trump's pro-America energy policies. So they're trying to scam the country once again. It's all about lining their own pockets. And they were at the Bernie Sanders rally, and they didn't care that Bernie Sanders was flying a jet around burning all this carbon dioxide.
No, and you know, he defended himself and said, it's a necessary thing, I have to do this. And, you know, he could fly commercial, but he chose not to. And whatever excuse they want to use, it's exactly that, just an excuse. But it's proof that they really don't care about that.
Yeah.
Not if it inconveniences them.
So apparently what their excuse is, well, let me read a little blurb on this story here. 10 of the 16 Montanans who successfully challenged Montana's prohibition on greenhouse gas emissions analyses under the state constitution are now seeking to undo several executive orders from President Donald Trump aimed at unleashing domestic fossil fuel production. Anyway, and so basically it's the same climate kids that were propped up by their white liberal parents to be used as human shields in the war against American energy. But to me, the fact that they filed this in federal court in Butte, well, they know they've got a liberal judge there that will likely side with them. But wow, what a poke in the eye to the people of Butte. I just spoke with J.P. Gallagher, who's the chief executive of Butte Silver Bow. They want to bring in a data center to Butte that's a $1 to $4 billion investment. Think about it, with a B. $1 to $4 billion investment in Butte for a data center. Where are they going to get the energy from if the climate kids have their way? They won't have it. So Butte will lose out on it. What about the mine in Butte? Massive consumer of electricity. These people, these climate kids and the Democrat Party's candidate for governor just went in and poked everybody in Butte in the eye and said, we want to shut down your mine.
Yeah. You know, they're not smart enough to see that. What they do is it's like cutting off your nose to spite your face. You know, they don't realize what could happen. They're so blinded and single-sided that it's maddening.
But wait till you hear the justification that the climate kids are using for why they need to block President Trump's America First policies. One of the fussy bussy kids, the Democrat activists, he says, well, I'll give you the teaser now. It's hurting his theater career. He wants to be an actor in the theater, and climate change is harming his theater career. Very dramatic. Drama queens.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, let's start there. What the heck, George? So George and I were just, he's like, why is he arguing that climate change ruined his theater career? All right, hold that thought. So oil field rando has a big following on X. Actually, John Jackson shared this one with me. So he's talking about, you know, Fussy Bussy. Ryan Bussy was the Democrat candidate for governor. And is he running for Congress now, too? I sure hope so. Somebody told me he announced. Who knows if he is or not. Nobody really pays attention. But I sure hope he and Zoe Zephyr both take a swing at it here. So, George, this was the headline at thehill.com. 22 young Americans sue the Trump administration over executive orders they say will promote climate change. They're calling it, quote, a death sentence for my generation. Bunch of drama queens, that's for sure, right? Oh, they must do theater. Oh, well, look out. So Oilfield Rando shared some of the court documents, and he says, okay, so now Lander Bussy and his little brother Badge are suing the Trump administration for ruining his theater career with climate change.
Oh.
Wow. So I guess did somebody not tell us? Did the Big Fork Summer Theater shut down? Did the Fort Peck Summer Theater shut down? I mean, with climate change, I guess if it killed their theater career, who else is still doing theater?
Maybe
theater's
just
dead.
Act. You know, maybe that's it. He just can't act.
All this is an act. We know that that's exactly what this whole climate alarmist stuff is right now. I mean, man, we could pick this apart in a million different ways.
It's insane. Well, you know, on the surface, if it's all about me,
It's all about me, you know. So I don't know what their real motivation is, you know. That's just an excuse. But the crazy thing is, they'll probably find a liberal judge that'll be like, hey, that's right, that's wrong, we need to stop this. And an activist judge, which obviously we found that we have courts full of activist judges.
Well, our federal judges in Montana were all put on the bench by Democrats. And so, yeah, that's exactly why they're filing a federal lawsuit in Butte, because you've got a far-left environmental activist judge on the federal bench in Butte. So that's why this theatrical case is now in federal court in Butte, of all places. But, man, I'll tell you what, if you are a Butte Democrat who's always voted for the Democrats and you finally voted for Trump in 2024, but you still voted for these other Democrats – I would think you've figured it out at the presidential level, you've got to figure it out at the local level as well here, that these people want to shut down your mind. They want to shut down any other industry that you're hoping to bring to be.
Absolutely. You know, the thing that's maddening, Aaron, is so whether it's this trying to stop the energy policies or, you know, there was a IT specialist with the defense, what organization was it he was with? The Defense Intelligence Agency. He is selling secrets, or tried to sell secrets, to a foreign government, but it was really an FBI agent, because he didn't align with the Trump administration's policy. So again, he wants to destroy the country because of who the president is. He doesn't give a damn about this country, neither do Democrats, because they want to destroy everything just because Trump did it. There was another case where they found six people at the USDA that was defrauding the SNAP program.
A big surprise.
Out of $66 million, they were six employees of the USDA. And the far left, well, the left, well, they're mad because they got caught and they want to stop this kind of stuff. It's crazy that liberals want to destroy our country just because Trump's president.
Yeah. And that story, yeah, I saw a Fox News Radio piece about somebody, in one of these intelligence agencies trying to sell our nation's secrets because they didn't like Trump. But whether it's outright deliberate like that or other way, we just talked with General Michael Flynn, who was the head of the DIA under Obama, I might add. And he was just yesterday at this exact same time slot was talking about how these intelligence agencies have been weaponized against we, the American people, because you got so many of these deep state operatives. They will release intelligence assessments deliberately designed to undermine Trump's policies, and then they'll leak it to the press. And that's why people, I think now they're just fully aware of what's going on. And they know that when they see and hear some of this stuff in the news, just to be immediately suspect of it.
Well, exactly. And, you know, things have changed things are changing, because I saw that Kash Patel, the director of the FBI, he had kind of a teaser out yesterday that said he's going to release information about January 6th and the FBI's role in that. Well, everybody has been saying ever since it happened, the FBI was involved with that. And now we're going to find out the truth, because we have an FBI director that is transparent, and he's de-weaponizing the FBI. And we're going to find some truth out. So I think that's great. But liberals will be bent out of shape about that, too.
Yeah. In fact, yeah, speaking of that story, before we get to our next caller on the phone lines here, as George reported, FBI Director Kash Patel suggested Wednesday a, quote, definitive answer about if FBI agents were present during the January 6th Capitol Hill riots will soon be released.
Patel revealing to our Brett Baer during an interview that shocking new details will be shared about exactly what transpired that day. Patel's comments coming after a Justice Department report was released last year that showed 26 confidential human sources were present that day to gather intelligence. Of those sources, only three were linked to the FBI, and none were authorized to break the law or stir up violence. The report also found that one of the three FBI sources went inside the Capitol building, while two of them entered a restricted area near the Capitol.
All right, so more to follow on that front. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Jeff in Polson. Jeff, what's on your mind? Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning. You guys hit it out of the park was that commentary on the Lee article about the Northwestern energy electricity rate increase. That they say 17%, okay? We here in the Mission Valley, we get our power from the Kerr Dam, the SKQ Dam. And as of March, our rates went up a total of 14.6%. Just the monthly basic charges went up 37% from $58 to $80 a month. And then your energy costs are going to go up about another $20, $30 a month. So that's going to be $80 a month just for, or $50 a month just for, no increase. And the water hasn't changed. So why has that happened? I actually know Zach Campbell who runs it, and I've talked to him about this. And on their page, they have the reasons why. And it's basically to replace equipment and handle increases in salaries. There's a 50-year-old transformer, 50-year-old at the Kerr substation that they have to replace.
Interesting. Yeah, you look at a lot of this infrastructure across Montana is aging. Jeff, thanks for the call. George, earlier this week I spoke with the head of the BOR, the Bureau of Reclamation here in Montana, and they have hydropower dams, not the Kerr, but they have other hydropower dams. They do the water project, like the St. Mary's water project all along the High Line, and all this infrastructure is aging. Their budget is $1.3 billion for the entire BOR across the country. We're subsidizing foreign students to study on our college campuses in America to the tune of $2 billion every year. We give more money to foreign students than we do to our own infrastructure in this country. But the thing that I found most interesting was one of our listeners had flagged this for me, is some of these hydropower facilities, you could add more generators there and produce more power at the same dam using the same water. So, yeah, why don't we do more of that? Well, you got to put some, that requires more infrastructure, et cetera. Before you run, George, unless you got something you want to add, I know you got to run here during our next break. Democrats are spending $27 million to figure out how to talk to American men. What's your reaction?
I tell you what, that speaks volumes. You know, you got Pete he's growing a beard, so he looks more manly.
Look at me.
Look at me. And they're spending all that money because they're so out of touch with the younger generation. I saw that they want to put more Democrat ads and video games to reach this crowd, of young men in the U.S., And I tell you what, if I'm playing a video game and a Democrat ad shows up on there, I'm definitely not voting for them. I think that's going to backfire, so run all the ads you want to. That's what I'm saying. But they're just out of touch,
it's not even just that they don't know how to speak to American men. It's that they talk down to American men.
Yes.
And they tell you that you're fundamentally racist and how bad you are because you're an American man.
Toxic masculinity.
And it's these wimpy white men that are the ones that are saying it, like Pete Buttigieg, Okay, when you get back in your pickup, and your drive, you got to keep the show on because you're going to love this Jesse Waters soundbite with the bearded Pete and Jazzy Crockett next. Yeah, I'll play the clip here after this. I was going to play it while George was here, but he's got to run.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
He's bringing back manufacturing that Obama said would never come back and Biden said would never come back and they never tried to bring back. I mean, we're now going to manufacture our own pharmaceuticals, our own semiconductor chips. We're bringing back automobile manufacturing. That's going to be, massive for American workers. The Republican Party needs to be the party of working men and women. That represents the majority of Americans, the people that get up every day, work their 12, 14, 16 hours, raise their kids, take them to their sports, feed them, study with them, go to, crash and go to bed, get up and do it all over again, take the kids to church on Sunday.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Pure Talk, my wireless company, a veteran-owned company, believes every man, every woman who has faithfully served this country deserves to proudly fly an American flag that was made in America. And that's why Pure Talk is on a mission to give an allegiance flag, the highest quality American flag made in Charleston, South Carolina, to 1,000 veterans in time for these patriotic holidays. Just switch your cell phone service to Pure Talk. Do it this month, and a portion of every sale will go to provide these high-quality flags, hand-sewn, to deserving vets. Now, with plans starting at just $25 a month for unlimited talk and text and plenty of data, you can enjoy America's most dependable 5G network, all while cutting your cell phone bill in half. Average family saves over $1,000 a year. You just dial #250, say the keyword save now. Pure Talk's customer service will make the switch. #250, keyword save now, support our veterans, and switch to America's wireless company, Pure Talk.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Foligno. Morgan Wallen and Tate McRae scored a number one debut with What I Want. The country pop collaboration tops the Billboard Hot 100, marking Wallen's fourth number one and McRae's first. The track comes from Wallen's new album, I'm the Problem, which also debuted at number one on the Billboard 200 with the biggest week of 2025 so far. McRae tops the Hot 100 for the first time earlier this year. Her album, So Close to What, hit number one on the Billboard 200. For Wallen, this adds to an impressive run. He previously hit number one with Love Somebody in November, I Had Some Help with Post Malone in May, and Last Night, which dominated for 16 weeks in 2023 and finished as the year's biggest song. He currently has six songs in the Hot 100's top 10. Dan and Shay won Favorite Country Duo at the American Music Awards, while Beyonce took home Favorite Country Artist and Country Album for Cowboy Carter, and Post Malone won Favorite Male Country Artist. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, let me do one more random story for you here before I play this Jesse Waters soundbite, giving George a little more time to get to his pickup if he's not there yet as well. But George and I talked about this one during the break. So Fish, Wildlife, and Parks sent out a press release. I think the Billings Gazette picked it up. Motorized boaters in Montana no longer need a validation decal. Boaters in Montana no longer need a validation decal from Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks thanks to legislation signed into law by Governor Greg Gianforte on May 1st. The legislation was sponsored by Representative Steve Kelly and was actually proposed by FWP. That makes sense to me. George was asking about this. He's like, so, yeah, why would you need the decal? And I'm like, I don't know. I just remember I had to drive all the way to the FWP office to go pick up this sticker. I'm like, so I just need the sticker? I just come here and get the sticker and that's it? It's like, why do I need the sticker? So, you know, no, you no longer need the sticker. So there you go. Just it sounds like some more common sense coming out of the red tape relief type of stuff. All right, what about Jazzy Crockett? Well, I won't have time to play that portion of Jesse Waters' segment last night, but Jasmine Crockett, she so desperately wants to be arrested. Jim Acosta from CNN, he so desperately wants to be arrested. I think they saw the way that when they arrested Donald Trump, it helped Donald Trump. So they desperately want to be arrested now, too. But first, you know, Democrats are trying to figure out how to talk to American men. We talked about the bearded Pete, former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg.
So they sent in Mayor Pete? What does bearded Pete think they should be talking about?
We should be talking about how, yes, if, you know, Speaker Johnson got his way, it wouldn't be possible, not just for gay people to get married, but for straight people to get divorced, let alone like birth control or how he would want to regulate porn or whatever people, most people would have a problem with.
Gay marriage, divorce, and porn. That's Pete's pitch to white guys. Hey guys, don't forget to wear a condom. Look who else they're sending out.
I love young men. I love frat guys. And in that, I realized, like, even the ones that identify as conservative are almost always pro-choice, They're almost always pro-gay marriage. You'd be surprised at the number of them who support Black Lives Matter.
Oh, yeah. Whenever I'm on campus, I see Black Lives Matter flags hanging from every fraternity house. Every one. And trans flags, too. The Democrats were better off with tampon.
Oh, that was great. Yeah, you had a whole great segment there, of course, as well. Yeah, Tampon, of course, is Tampon Tim, the Democrat governor of Minnesota, the former Democrat vice presidential candidate. Speaking of their radical transgender agenda, today is the day. An update on that story. Apparently, so in California, they're having their big state track and field championship today. And the DOJ is closely watching what is taking place in California. They are closely watching to see how these young women are going to be treated at the state track and field championship. It's so absurd. This was one of the woke updates of the week that we talked about on Thursday's show. So what California is doing, you know, Gavin Newsom, he thinks he can talk to American men, or at least he wants to be able to in 2028. So Gavin Newsom is desperately trying to turn California away from their crazy transgender policies. But here's how they're doing it. They're going to allow the boys to pretend to be girls in the track meet. But if the boys win the race, they'll get their medal. They'll get to be on the podium. But the girls will also be on the podium. The girls will have to share the podium. What a slap in the face, and what an embarrassment for Gavin Newsom and for California. But yeah, the Trump administration and the DOJ are keeping a close eye on just how California's CIF is going to handle the whole deal today.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The National Federation of Independent Business, the advocacy group for U.S. small businesses, has a weekly survey of business conditions. It compiles something called a policy uncertainty index, which basically tallies the number of times businesses say, I don't know, or not certain, in response to questions about their plans. And the index has exploded in recent weeks, reaching levels that match the onset of the COVID emergency in early 2020. It's just measuring what's in plain sight to everyone. Government by tweet and executive order that has disrupted global supply chains, especially impacting small businesses that have less opportunity or capacity to adjust. It's a style of governing that is toxic to the risk-taking and investment spending that powers much of the economy. With policy up in the air, many of the decisions on projects and investments are on hold, and the collective impact of that paralysis is a frightening thing to contemplate should it continue. I'm Patrick Parkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.